It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, welcome back to the Gallagher Shots podcast on the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. We are back on this fine Sunday with another match reaction for another Newcastle United victory. I am your host, Chris, joined by Scott, Joe and Ian. We're going to get straight into it, boys, straight into business. Scott, only one change to the starting 11 for this one against Wolves, and that was Botman in to replace Lascelles, who featured in the cup against Blackburn. No surprises from you?
No. Eddie Howe mentioned in his press conference that Botman had a bit of a rest against Blackburn. I think paid dividends, to be honest, because him and Cher seem to be performing pretty well, especially that first 15, 20 minutes, I think. And I'm jumping well ahead here, but yeah, it seemed to pay off. Botman seemed to be not back to his best, but he seemed to relish that little rest that he had, because I think Eddie Howe even mentioned himself, Botman wasn't fully fit in the games running up to this one. But yeah, even a strong bench, obviously no striker, but it's nice to see maybe he's one kid on the bench, if you want to even call him a kid, in Lewis Miley. I mean, it's been a regular feature throughout the season, so you can't even say that, even though he's 17. Madness.
He's an experienced kid. we'll put it down to Scott. Joe, yes. Going through the rest of the starting 11, yep. You had Dubravka in goal, Trippier right back, Fabian Shaw and Botman as centre-back partnership. Byrne returned at left-back. Longstaff, Bruno and Joe Willock in the centre midfield. Mm-hmm. Like Scott mentioned, Miley was on the bench. Willock comes in to replace him. Then you had Murphy keeping his position on the right-hand side. Gordon on the opposite and Isaac up top. Were you shocked to see Jacob Murphy keep his position in that starting 11?
Oh, yes and no. I mean, his performances haven't exactly warranted him keeping a starting place, especially on Tuesday. But then I think I said in the group chat that if you were going to drop everyone based on their performance on Tuesday, we wouldn't have a starting 11 to put out. I think Eddie Howe's probably looking at the current situation we're in the fact we finally have some rotation options. He's probably wanting to maximise it and give those players who have played so much football a rest, just where possible. I think, actually, to be honest with you, I was more surprised, maybe not more surprised, but maybe the least surprised to see Gordon starting, just simply because of how much football he's played. Obviously, he played the 120 minutes on Tuesday, and in the preview, we speculated that we might see Barnes, Isak, and then Murphy or Almiron up front as a starting three, just because of Miggy not playing the full 90 minutes or 120 minutes on Tuesday. Barnes is, you know, still coming back, and he didn't start the game midweek either. It felt like a good time to give those lads who had been semi-rested a chance to start, but no, it wasn't to be. He kept the same starting 11, and you know, Murphy, for all his limitations, I think put in a really good shift when and you know, he had a really important contribution to Gordon's goal. He looked busy as a direct winger. We know what he's like compared to Miggy. So, no, I was a little bit surprised. But I suppose, you know, it kind of worked out in the end. I think Dan Byrne as well was another one, maybe, because, again, we spoke on the preview about how he tried Tino against Arsenal at that left-back position, and then he, you know, it didn't quite work, but that was against a team that was going to press us in for 90 minutes. Against Blackburn, he started Byrne, and you thought, well, if we're going to continue this rotation, it would make sense to have Tino back in for the league game. But alas, it wasn't to be. He kept with the same old team, same tactics, same style. So, yeah, it was back to the old, but it worked.
Of course, Ian, it was a horrible day at St. James's Park, if we're looking at the weather-wise. It was lashing down from the minute that first whistle was blown right until later on in the second half as well. We will go through the goals individually, but that played a big part of that 90 minutes of football, the weather. If we just jump to the first goal, Isak's goal, it's Gordon on the left-hand side that plays it down to Bruno, I believe it is. Bruno looks like a shot. Let's not deny this. That looks like a shot from Bruno.
100% a shot.
Yeah, 100% a shot. Then there's a deflection where the defender comes in, try to clear that one, and just bounces really sweetly for Isak, who's just got basically an open net to head that one into. But give credit to the lads, obviously, on the tackling form, but credit to Isak as well for judging the flight of that ball as well, because he could have easily held back, he could have went too far. He's timed that to perfection, Ian.
Yeah, he got in a good... There was another one as well where Dan Byrne decided to have a shot. Isak was just to the right of him. He was getting in good positions yesterday, whereas I thought the games that he's been in, obviously he came back against Arsenal, which isn't a good sort of barometer to measure him on, but I just felt he was maybe isolated in the last couple of games, whereas we'll find him a bit more this time round. It all started from our box as well. So I noticed yesterday the setup, the midfield was sitting that little bit deeper, and I think that was really, really paying off, because for all Wolves have been in good form, and I didn't realise that they had actually not lost a game away from home this season, which was that quite surprised us. But they didn't really have... They got in a couple of times, but nothing like clear cut, and that goal stemmed from we're sitting a little bit deeper, filling in the holes so they couldn't play through. Cher plays a great ball out of Gordon, and then Bruno literally runs from his own box into... I don't think I've ever actually seen him move as quick. Obviously, there's been... Well, probably me's been highlighting it in the group chat. He just doesn't look as quick as he first was when he signed for it. But he off-shifted there, and like you say, Isak's got in a really good position. And I think, to be honest, I think the timing of the goal was probably well needed. I think, like I say, they didn't really threaten goal much, but they were still getting a bit of freedom in our half. And like Neto did quite a good run for about four with players. It was just, I think it sort of settled everyone's nerves. And obviously, I was sitting watching it thinking we'll probably need another one. And then not long after that, obviously, Gordon pops up.
It is. Gordon pops up, Scott. Gordon, once again, right place at the right time, really. Capitalising on a bit of a mix-up between Saw and the defender there. Just lands nicely for Gordon just to go and smash that in the back of the net. And that is the ball which is in from Murphy, if I remember right. So the ball comes in from Murphy. And once again, weather playing a huge part in this one. And obviously the confusion between goalkeeper and centre-back pairing. And once again, Gordon, right place at the right time. Thank you very much. 2-0 up, Newcastle United.
Yeah, it's a couple of, they're not very pretty goals in the end. I mean, obviously the build-up is really nice for both of them, but you take them all day. I think watching it in real time, I thought it was Isak that had went in for it and maybe he's knocked the ball out of the keeper's hands or something like that. You couldn't quite see from the angle of the TV cameras. It might have been different in the ground itself, obviously depending on where you sat. But it looked like it was maybe Isak I got in, but actually Isak's no one near it, and it is the defender and the keeper coming together. I don't think either of them particularly get anything on the ball much. I think they come together, which, you know, like you say, Gordon is just coming in on that from that left-hand side, and he's just, I don't think he could have asked for an easier ball to finish. He just hits an empty net. There's nobody there. And yeah, it's 2-0. It's nice. And I think going back to that first goal, the keeper tries to get back and he clatters the post. Mm-hmm. And I think he doesn't make much of it at that time, but obviously he comes off at half time. And I think that's had a lot to do with maybe that second goal a little bit as well. He's maybe not concussed as much, but he's maybe harboring a little bit of an injury there, which has maybe affected him in that second goal. You'll never know. No one's ever going to admit it, but you know, you've got to look at that second goal and think the keeper should be taking that. He should be coming out and get it. You know, the weather, yes, it was rain and yes, it was slippery surfaces, but I think it had eased up a little bit by then. It wasn't as bad as it was, because even watching it on the telly, I looked up and I thought, it's very, like, you couldn't see the top of the stands on the telly because it was coming down that heavy. You could hear the rain coming through the speakers. It was that bad. So I think that first goal, the keeper had clattered into the post, and it's probably affected him a little bit more than he probably even thought. And then by half time comes along, he's like, I can't continue. They made the change. But take nothing away from the ball coming in. We know Jacob Murphy can do that. He's done it before, you know, in seasons past. It's a great ball in. You know, Isak obviously kind of get to it. Unfortunately, defender and keeper just come together. And like you say, Gordon's just, you know, he couldn't ask for a nicer present, really, from the defender and the keeper. And he slots it home into an empty net. It's 2-0.
So we're going 2-0 up at half-time there, Joe. And I know we're talking about our goals. And torn as if we dominated that game. It wasn't as easy as that in the first half. We knew we'd have a tough game against Wolves. And once again, Martin Dubravka, which a lot of people have criticised since he came into the team, he's kept us in that game throughout with a couple of top-notch saves, especially at his near post. Really good at getting to his near post.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the preview, we were saying that whilst Cunha and Huang were both out, and they are by far the two top goal scorers, they still pose a massive threat. Obviously, Ian mentioned it before, Neto making that huge run in that was almost a goal. But obviously, you know, I think it was Fabian Scher who managed to get that gorgeous last-ditch tackle in. You had Sarabia and Lamina who were making these driving runs through the midfield, and they were dangerous. I think the first goal, I honestly thought it was kind of against the run of play. You know, whilst they didn't threaten too much in terms of the actual goal mouth, they were pressing us in quite heavily. And you know, really, our first goal came from just a really well-worked counter-attack because they pressed so many bodies forward. We did defend really well, though. I think the consensus over the last, well, I mean, you could really argue the whole season, because I think back to Brighton away, like the second game where we lost 3-0, we were sat there going, what the hell's going on with this defence? Where is the same back five that we saw last season? And it just wasn't quite as cohesive, but I really enjoyed seeing how compact and just how disciplined we were. Fabian Scher had an absolute fantastic game. Unbelievable. Trippier, he made a couple of dodgy passes here and there, gave the ball away a couple of times, but I thought in general he was quite solid, really good. Dan Burn again, I mean, he got burned a couple of times by Neto, but in general he was okay, pretty good. So no, I thought in general we had a really solid game at the back, and we contained what threat they did have quite well. I mean, I remember Totti in, I think it was the first half, where he did have a free header that really should have went in. Was it first half?
First half.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they did have their threats. They definitely had their threats, and we were let off slightly. And I said at the end of the game to a couple of the lads that we were good form for getting a clean sheet there, because really they should have had at least one. But, you know, testament to the lads, we ended up keeping the clean sheet, which is great.
To stay with you, just because you mentioned him, we can't look at the first 45 minutes and not talk about Dan Burn's shot at goal as well, because Dan Burn finds himself in that space where
I've never find
the attacking midfielder running into that space. And Dan Burn, for some reason, over this season, he just loves that little pocket of space. He finds himself in there for some reason, and it's a great opportunity where
he's had so much criticism for not getting forward because of the system that we play. But he does. I know. He does love himself a little mazy run now and again. And when he took that shot, I literally just laughed out loud. I was like, fair enough.
Snapshot.
I think it was on his left foot
as well for another header.
And to be fair, that was an absolute fantastic. I think I was taught to you again. Fantastic.
Clearance off the line. It was a really good passage of play. Like yesterday, I thought in parts, obviously not the whole game, but in parts, we're more moving the ball a little bit better. And yeah, I don't know whether that's down to Willock being back in there, but even he was literally the first couple of minutes, he got on the ball and just was driving forward, which we've not seen. And obviously, to go back to the Blackburn game, where the criticism was we were so slow at moving the ball. Again, there were times where we were a bit tentative going forward, but there was parts of that game where I wouldn't say it was vintage of last season, but it was much, much quicker than what we've had in the last month or two. So that was an improvement to see. And I think even, I mean, I've not criticised Howe, but I've questioned maybe one or two decisions he's made in terms of game management. Whereas I thought yesterday he did well in noticing that. I think it was maybe 65, 70 minutes they were on the up, but I think they had that chance where I think it was Sarabia got in behind Byrne and Dubravka pulled off that save that he's near post. I had that shot where he palmed it out and Tino cleared it. So we were taking on water a little bit. How I recognise that and then put the fresh legs on of Miggy, Barnes and Miley.
Well, just to fire through it, Ian. So the second half starts and Wolves make two changes where Neto goes off and Fraser comes on and obviously Saw, goalkeeper, comes off and replaced by Bentley. Not long after that, Trippier is feeling a little bit of discomfort. So Trippier is replaced by Tino. And like you said, obviously, I think it's around about the 70th minute where you get your triple substitution it is. So it's very similar to what we saw against Blackburn around about the similar sort of time where Murphy, Willock and Isaac go off and they are replaced by Barnes, Almiron and Miley. Like you said, Ian, just staying with you, you saw a little bit of a shift again at that point as well. We're back to Newcastle.
Yeah, I just think simply fresh legs. They had the energy to then drive you up the pitch where maybe the likes of Murphy was running a little bit on empty. I thought by all accounts he had a much better game today than he did against Blackburn. He put a good couple of balls through, obviously got kind of an assist, we'll call it, for the second goal. Barnes, for me, I think it's probably too early to say whether he's been a successful signing or not. Obviously, he had that massive, massive period of time out with injury. And I think he's just trying to find his feet again. Hopefully, he'll come good. And then Miley, again, even though he's 17, like he just looks so comfortable in a Premier League midfield. Like I was like awkwardly trying to get dates for Orange Wednesdays when I was 17. He's like played his 20th Premier League game or something. So credit to him. And then obviously, like you say, there was a shift in sort of the balance of play. And then it looked like Wolves still were going at it in sort of to the 90th minute. And then we've just hit them on a counter and Tino's run.
Before you even get to that point, Ian, just coming to you, Scott, there is a fantastic ball in by Bruno. No look pass.
Oh, yes. Bruno. Completely forgot about that,
Ian. And it's probably the pass of the game. Bruno takes a look to his right and just typical Bruno just dinks that into a perfect location. And you've got to give Miggy credit because Miggy makes the move there.
Miggy's movement is great because he drops Bruno back and then it's drops fantastic back into great run.
Well, it's the turn. It's fantastic. I mean, he receives the ball, he does a little spin. And yeah, I mean, like you say, you see it in real time, you think, oh, that's a hell of a ball, that. And Miggy does well to take it down, control it. And I've seen a lot of criticism, Miggy, well, he should be finishing, but the keeper's
that
on him.
Keeper's done really space. Well. The pace of that ball really good comes save. In.
Yeah. I mean, Miggy's hit it with his right foot as well. Remember that, you know, Miggy doesn't have a right foot, apparently. He's got the shot away. You know, it's decent. But you see it on the replay and you actually realise Bruno's no look hit that pass, hit that through ball. I mean, it's absolutely just phenomenal. And like I said, like I put it in the group chat, I think I put this on Twitter as well. If a player like Kevin De Bruyne hits that pass, that's getting replayed over and over and over again on the likes of Sky Sports, on social media. People are waxing lyrical about it. And I know we are. And I know I've seen a few people on social media, Newcastle fans, waxing lyrical. It probably deserves a lot more credit than it's going to get because it is such a good thing. And I think if it does end up in a goal, maybe it gets a bit more than what it probably deserves. Sorry, not more than it deserves, more than it's going to get because it's just sublime. But Bruno can do that. I thought Bruno had a very good game yesterday. And I think we can credit a lot of that to Joe Willock because Joe Willock running back and forth up that pitch allows Bruno a bit more freedom where he doesn't have to be that player where he's back defending and then he's up attacking and he's having to play the game a bit more. He can be a bit more free where he can just be that quarterback where he can pick the ball up in defence if he wants and spray the pass, or he can be up in attack like we saw with the goal, and he could bust a gut to get up there if he wants to, because he knows if this ball gets turned over and they then counterattack us, I'm not having to get back up the field to defend because I've got someone like Joe Willock who can also get back up there, who's got the pace to get back up there and protect the back line if needs be. So it's so nice to see just Bruno have the trust in a fellow midfielder. And I'm not saying he doesn't trust Miley and Longstaff. I just don't think Miley and Longstaff have the pace to do what Bruno wants in a partner to do, whereas maybe he's got that in Joe Linton and he's got that in Willock, where they can do that for him. So you just see him thrive. And I know there's some comments on TalkSport this week saying that he's not got the athletic ability to be a world-class player and you've got to put good players around him. You can't disagree with what they said, because we saw that today. Oh, sorry, we saw that yesterday, where you put someone like Willock around him and he thrives on the people on the pitch. Now, I'm not saying what they said on TalkSport is true. I actually think Bruno will be a world-class player and is a world-class player. But you do have to put players around him for him to thrive.
The scary thing is,
he's not the sort of player to get the game by the scruff of the neck, like a De Bruyne when he saw him come against us and just change the game. He's not that sort of player, but he will, with the right players around him, be the game changer. And that's what he was yesterday. He was the game changer for us.
Scary thing is that we've not even seen the best of him. Yeah, I kind of alluded to what you just said. Once you get these, I mean, I'm really hoping that we do keep him after the summer and that, you know, Real Madrid or something, he doesn't come in for him. I really do hope so, because I feel like if you get, I mean, look at like a Tonali coming back in with those legs in midfield, like a Joe Willock or a Joe Linton, as you've just said, who has those legs. But what I found really interesting as well is how much deeper Isak was coming back into the fold, where Bruno was able to ping those balls up to him. Isak kind of held it off. And then, like you say, a Joe Willock comes in, or an Anthony Gordon comes in. And it's that sort of dynamicism that we just kind of lacked between the midfield and in the attack, that was just so nice to see yesterday. It was, it just felt like we were just pinging so many different passes and players that we just didn't have the opportunity to do before.
You also look at a player like Dan Byrne. Dan Byrne benefits from a Joe Willock being on the field on that left-hand side, because Dan Byrne doesn't have to think, I've got to get back and help defend, because Joe Willock can cover him a little bit. Now, a lot of people would argue, well, he's a left wing-back. He doesn't have to, he shouldn't have to rely on a midfielder. And yeah, you're probably right, but we all know Dan Byrne hasn't got the pace to get back. That's where Joe Willock can come in, because Joe Willock can run up and down that field when he's fully fit all day long and do that. And we know he can. Obviously, he cannot last a full 90 minutes at the minute because he's just coming back from an injury. But once he's fully fit and once he's how fit, as we like to call it, it's going to be great. It's going to get back to what we saw last season, where we're going to have that legs and someone like Dan Byrne is going to avoid the criticism he's been getting, because players aren't going to be able to exploit that, or teams aren't going to be able to exploit that right-hand side, because the gaps aren't going to be there, because you're not going to have that gap anymore. And then moving a little bit more with Willock and Gordon linking up. I think, Joe, you were about to talk about this. Mm-hmm. They've been linking up great. They were doing it against Blackburn. They're doing it again yesterday. It's just proved how much we've missed one player for the entire season. I just wish we had him in the Champions League, because I think Joe Willock in the Champions League would have been a bit of a game changer for us in some of those games.
I agree. Just to take it back to a little bit about Bruno, I thought Bruno was phenomenal yesterday, like unbelievable. And you know what it's like you mentioned, obviously with Willock being back in the team, that's going to help. It's just once again, you look back over the last X amount of months, you think just how only we've been with these injuries. And yes, we're back in the top 10 now at the moment. And this game was such a huge game to stay in that mix as well. Just how far further we'll be in this league table if we did have a fully fit squad, because I think we'll be in and around the mix in those higher European places. I'm not saying we would have repeat the performance of what we did last season. But I think we'll be in and around it. I'm going to come to you, Joe, just to wrap it up on the last goal. I've seen a lot of people and non-Newcastle United fans saying, and a lot of commentators as well, to be fair, saying that Tino didn't know much about his goal and the finish of his goal.
Not a chance.
It's out there. It's out there.
Not a chance. Right.
On the live commentary, I can't remember who the commentator was, but actually said it was on Optus Sport or whatever it is, said that Tino's run is great, but he doesn't know much about the finish. I completely disagree with that because
I don't know how
he manages to do it, but he manages to extend his leg and gets it further back behind the ball.
He does.
Even though it's out of his stride, he manages to do it. And it's a great finish from the challenge which is coming in. But my God, we know Tino can run with the ball. How good was that run yesterday, Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it reminds me of the Man United away game in the League Cup where he makes a beautiful, amazing run. He's got the legs. He's got the legs. He's got the pace. And he's got the technical ability for a fullback. Like, it's incredible. And I just think the fact that they say he doesn't know anything about it. Yeah, he's going off balance because of the defender coming in. But like you say, he's able to get his leg back and hook it forward. I wasn't sure whether it took, well, when I first saw it, I wasn't sure whether it took a last touch off the defender, you know, in a ricochet. But you look at it again, no, he gets his foot back in, manages to caress it past. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, okay, it's a scruffy finish. It's not going to win goal of the season. But the audacity and the sheer confidence to go, I'm going to take on half the team and just make this run. Mm. And have that skill in the box as well to drift past the defender, get inside, cut that little bit of space in. And it just goes to show that if you get into those spaces, you create those opportunities, doesn't matter whether it's a world-class finish or not, you're in that space and there's always a chance. Mm. And obviously that completely wrapped the game up. They all count. And that completely wrapped the game up. I mean, I think the game was in the dying embers anyway. It was probably going to peter out, but that just completely solidified it. And
it was 92nd minute or something like that. That goal scored.
It was. But it was nice. It was nice. And I think, depending on how, on the extent of this Trippier injury, I mean, it's not a bad backup, is it? It really isn't. It might see us change a little bit tactics wise in terms of, you know, whether we still go to that back three or not, but I think Tino's shown that he can drive up the pitch and create those chances, and you know, he's got that great recovery ability as well. But no, it was a fantastic goal regardless of the scruffy finish. He did finish it really well despite the pressure, and yeah, I mean, the fact that we've got him in as a cover for Trippier is just insane. So no, it was a great way to wrap it up, and it was just, yeah, it was nice to see the legs are still there in the team.
100%. I think it shows that Tino's performance yesterday proves that he's a right back. And I think a lot of people are forgetting.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk of Tino plays left back to play Dan Burn. He's a right back. And yesterday's performance proves that you play him in his right position. And that's the type of performance you're going to get from Tino. We've seen that when he's played in right back. He's great there. He's not just good, he's great there. And that's where we need to play him. We cannot be forcing him into the wrong positions week after week, because you've got to put him in the places where he needs to play. And that's a right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I just want to focus a little bit on the Premier League table now, because that's Newcastle United in eighth position. Like I said, it was such a huge win, really. I know, obviously, we've still got plenty of the season left to play, though. But Wolves, like we said, we're breathing down our necks a little bit there. So Newcastle in eighth now. Our next run of fixtures coming up, if we're just looking at Premier League fixtures, we know we'll have Man City coming up in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. But we have Chelsea on Monday the 11th. Followed by Crystal Palace, West Ham, and Everton. Those are our next four games in the Premier League. You're looking at that, also looking at the league table, okay? And those are teams, really, where you're thinking, right, let's go for it now. Let's climb that table, because a win against Chelsea are sat in 11th there. That opens that gap, and West Ham right now are only 2 points above us in the league as well. Man United are only four with a game in hand, albeit, which they play later on today, so we don't know what the score is going to be there. We can go on a bit of a run now, hopefully. I know we said this around about Christmas time as well, but hopefully with the fixtures lying ahead of us, this is our chance to go on that little bit of a run and climb up into those European spots.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think the disappointment is, although we've only lost one game in the last, I think it's six, maybe seven, it's those draws at home that have been the most disappointing. Those are, for all it's worth, I guess anything can happen in football, but those are the games that you expect to be getting 3 points. Whereas now, obviously, you've got a real chance of putting a little bit of daylight between you and in that group of teams that you mentioned. I thought yesterday going into the game, I was really, really nervous about it because I think Wolves were maybe a point ahead of us. So if they win that, then 2 wins, obviously 4 points, but 2 wins to get above them with, like I say, not necessarily easy games. It's games that we definitely can get results in. I think at one point as well, I think we're 7th because West Ham were getting beat, Brighton were getting beat. So,
yeah.
And I know that we've still got those to play. So those are the games now that I would be targeting to try and take a maximum points out of, simply because, you say, it opens that gap. And I think we're talking this morning, we've only got, I think Chelsea dropped to 11th yesterday. So I think there's only Spurs, Man U, Brighton, West Ham in the top half that we've got to play. Obviously, I know football's not played on paper. That can change by the time we play these teams. But like you say, it's a real good chance to try. And yesterday was giving it a bit more confidence back. Like, for me, it probably wasn't a 3-0 scoreline that game, the way it went. Mm-hmm. But it's given the players, hopefully, confidence to think, right, we're still a good team. We can still score a lot of goals. We've kept a clean sheet against, at that time, a rival in the league. Let's kick on from here. And obviously, that is aided with the likes of Willock coming back, Isak coming back and getting more minutes in. So it's just shite that we've got Man City in the cup in the middle of that to potentially derail any momentum. But like I say, there's still areas we could have improved from yesterday, but it's much, much better than what we've seen the last month or so. So yeah, onwards and upwards.
I've been saying for ages that like once the fixture congestion clears up and we'll get some of these injuries back, we're going to have a strong end of the season. And I think some people were maybe a little bit skeptical, but Eddie Howe's philosophy of play is that intensity, that stamina, the drive, you know, that constant press for 90 minutes. You don't get that playing 2-3 times a week. But now that we're seeing that, that sort of ease up a little bit in terms of the fixtures, and we're getting these options back off the bench, we're seeing the Eddie Howe team of old. And yeah, like you say, we don't have that many on paper difficult fixtures left relative in the Premier League. So I think we have every opportunity to get a top 7 finish. I think 6th might be a little bit out the way. I think we're only 4 points behind Man U, but they've got a game to play as it stands. But they are a team that can go on a good run of form. But, you know, so are we. But no, it's definitely in our hands. It's definitely in our hands. And I think when you look at how much adversity we've had this season with injuries, with fixtures, with cup draws, you know,
we're getting by.
Being eighth now and being in still very much one of the forerunners in the race for a European spot. I mean, God, you've got to tip your hat to the lads and say,
yeah,
you've done fantastic given everything.
Well, I just want to make a slight correction as well. I said Palace was coming up, but that game has been postponed, hasn't it? Because of the quarterfinals. Yes. Yeah, that has been postponed because quarterfinals. Scott, just to wrap it up, though, it's now over a week the lads get a bit of a rest before the next game against Chelsea. It's came at the right time, hasn't it? In fact, no, has it? I'm down myself.
I don't know.
Now.
It's a weird one. I mean, it's not. I mean, we'll play on the Monday. It's not really a. I don't know if it's not like it's an international break or anything like that. Is it? We play on the.
It's just
on the Monday. There is an international break coming though, so after Chelsea,
yeah, it's after.
There's a week and a bit. Yeah. That's where I think if we can beat Chelsea, which who knows? It depends on what Chelsea turns up, really. That's where I would worry that if we were starting a run and then we have the break, that's where who knows what happens. But that's also a good option for players coming back. I think there's rumours of like Pope potentially coming back and all that sort of stuff. So who knows? Like, I'm not worried about a game being on the Monday when it's on the same weekend. Like that for me is, if anything, it's great because you get an extra day's training, an extra day's preparation. So that I'm not too fussed around that. It's more after the Chelsea game. You've got the weekend national break and then you come back and who knows what happens. It depends what Howe does with the players and, you know, how much time off he gives them. And what really the bigger worry is Trippier. What type of injury has he got and how bad is it? Because I know he put on his socials, hopefully it's not too bad. So I don't think he knows. The fact he walked off the pitch didn't seem to be too bad, but you can never tell. Like, who knows
never
what it
tell,
is.
Mate.
That's more of the bigger worry than anything, really.
Such an influential player for us as well.
He's an influential player. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said before, we've got Tino. Maybe it's not as bad as it could be. If you know, we've got players in that position who can fill in.
We've also got Emil Kraft. Everyone just disregards him. The best Swedish player in the Premier League ever.
Oh, we've got Isak.
Who are Isak?
How dare you?
Emil Kraft.
I've got a while to catch up.
And for this is how good he is. There was, when I got me top the other day, there was no Kraft preset names to print on the back. That's how popular Emil Kraft is.
And I wonder how many they've actually had made.
Did you struggle with Richie as well?
No, he had boatloads in.
Thanks, boys. It's been a pleasure. It is another win for Newcastle United. And let's hope that that's a bit of a springboard to push on for the rest of the season now. Players coming back for injury. Yes, we know about Trippier, but hopefully players coming back for injury. Return to full fitness as well. We saw it with Willock at the weekend. So fingers crossed that continues. And that run of players returning continues as well. If you have liked this video, just like the video. It's all we ask for. Become a subscriber. It costs you absolutely nothing to do that. If you are listening to the audio, just give us a 5-star review. Give us a little comment on there as well. If you want to give an extra bit back, it is just $2.99 a month to become a member on YouTube. You get early access to videos. You get extra videos. You get access to the Telegram group as well, which is full of around about 200 Newcastle United fans at the moment, talking a bit about everything, let's be honest. Mainly Newcastle United, but a bit of everything. So join the channel. Jump in there as well. It's always great fun in there. That's us done. I will see you all on Monday night for the All Smiling Faces podcast. I think we do have a full house again this week. So I don't think there'll be any fireworks this week either. So I think we'll be all right. Thanks. See you next time. Ta-ra.
Bye, everyone.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.